Psalm 84. Let me see what I want to read. Let's pick up verse number 6, all right? Who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeared before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, our God, our shield, look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Let the church say amen. Amen. Our Father, we pray you add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. Hide me behind the cross. Lift up the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for being God. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for standing. We entitled this, I Love Church. Let's say that together. I love church. One more time. Amen. Do you? The psalmist is telling us why he did. His reference here in Psalm 84 is to the tabernacles. To the temple, perhaps. We speculated as to who the writer was, the human author. Could have been David when he was running from Absalom and thus disallowed from being in the tabernacle. It could have been the sons of Korah or one of those pilgrims. The sons of Korah are the ones that are using this as a song, but it could have been one of those pilgrims headed to Jerusalem to worship, or maybe even an exiled Jew who had been stripped away from his homeland, sent to Babylon where he had to be there, or Assyria, separated from everything that he knew as familiar and as faithful, and missing the place where God's presence dwelt. Whether it was David or the exiled Jew, or whether it was just the sons of Korah leading in a song, the sentiment is the same. There was something special about the place where God's presence showed up. And let me make it very clear. You do not have to come to church to experience the presence of God, but you experience the presence of God in church like you experience it nowhere else. I'm glad I don't have to get to this building to meet God. Aren't you glad? But God ordained that that tabernacle was there where his Shekinah glory would dwell. And then in the temple, there his presence would show up. And then God ordained in the New Testament with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the ministry that he came establishing the local New Testament church. And isn't it special that God established this organism? And you'll hear Dad say some more about that next week. So I don't want to get ahead of myself, but establishing this place where men, women, and boys and girls of all walks of life. Aren't you glad that the church is a place where the ground is leveled at the cross? Aren't you glad that it's all about Jesus? You don't get into the church by being the right color or coming from the right creed. You don't get into the church by having the right fingerprints or having the right criminal background. You don't get into the church by having the right financial credentials. No, you get into the church by being in Christ. And when you get in Christ, you come through water baptism into the body of Christ. And we're gathered together for the sole purpose of evangelizing a lost and dying world. I don't know about you. I love church. I can't tell you how many texts I've gotten, calls from church members to say, Pastor, I miss church. We understand that the church is the people. We understand the church is not the steeple. It's not the carpet. It's not the pews. But there's a synergy that happens when saints of God gather together in the house of God, all united by the Lord Jesus Christ, indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, led and giving our attendance and credence to the Word of God. There's something special about church. Let's say it one more time together. I love church. One more time. I love church. Last week, why? Because it's a consolation for the soul. the lovely pleasure of the church, the longing passion for the church, the living person of the church. He said, I long for it. My flesh crieth for it. There's something my soul wants to get when I come to church. There's something my soul wants to sense when I come to church. There's sensing God's presence, sensing God's spirit. I don't know about you. From the moment the boys started singing this morning, couldn't you sense God's presence? Come on now. And then when you heard Bethany sing that he never lost a battle. Come on now. Could you sense God's presence when we sang Building Our Life on a Firm Foundation? Sensing God's presence when they sang, I'm amazed how you love me. And then his camera just sang, I am redeemed. Shake off these heavy chains. Come on now. Wipe away all of those things. I have been redeemed. There's a consolation for the soul. Last week, it's a catalyst for stability. Why? The sparrow built a nest where she could raise her young at the church. Listen to me. Your built family, your bestowed favor, your branded faith can be stabilized at the church. Build your family around the church. Get your favor as a result of the church. Listen to me. Brand your faith in the church. Listen to me. I'm not saying that those that aren't in church don't serve God, but I'm telling you, those that get involved in a good local New Testament church, their faith is established on a firm foundation. I've knocked on doors for many years and met people that said, I've been saved for 30, 40 years, and yet they're meandering around. They're confused. They have no stability. They're not sure where to go. Their kids have no foundation. They've heard about the Bible. They've been saved. They've been in Christian school. They've heard Bible stories. But there's nothing like getting planted and rooted and established in a local New Testament church. How many of you can admit that your life has been stabilized because you're in a good church? And I can't tell you how many people in this world that will go to heaven are headed there on the slow track because they're not involved in a good local New Testament church. Listen to me. If you're tuning in today and you don't have a good church, you need to get in a church where you can be faithful, where you can be fed, where you can be established, where you can be motivated, where you can be motivated and encouraged and exhorted by other believers to do the right thing. That's why I love church. Thirdly, this morning, church is not only a consolation for the soul. It's not only a catalyst for stability. Number three, church is a comfort during stress. A comfort during stress. Look at verse number 6. Who passing through the valley of Baca. The word Baca is a word for sorrow, pain, weeping, suffering, tribulation. Raise your hand if you've been in that valley. Come on. Don't you wish that life was always about the mountaintop? Don't you wish that everything was always gravy, everything was always good, and nothing ever went wrong? Let me tell you something. If you've never been in a valley until 2020, you know what a valley is now. I mean, this is an extended valley. Remember you used to play those video games, and the clock used to run down, you're on the racetrack, and if you cross the right thing, you get extended time? Doesn't it seem like this pandemic just extended time after extended time after extended time, and you kind of waving at the screen, say, I don't want no more time. And yet the time keeps, listen, we're going through that valley of Baca. But let me tell you something. There's nothing like being in a place when you're in that valley of Baca. Look what he says. Make it a well. Make it a well. You know what he's saying? You get so low and the valley gets so deep. But by the grace of God, you keep digging deeper and deeper. And eventually, even during the depth of that valley, you dig up a well. And have you not sensed that even during our lowest moments during this time that we've been able to sense God's presence? I can't tell you how much of God I sense at my lowest moments. I remember laying in the hospital and I was reading through Psalms as best as I could on the phone. And I read one of the Psalms and I can't even remember where it is right now, but it said, I shall not die, but live and testify to the goodness of God. It was like God was saying, can't nobody come in this room. Your wife can't come see you. Your kids can't come see you. Your parents can't come see you. Your siblings can't come see you. Your church members can't come see you. The doctor comes see you. He act like he's scared to see you. The nurse is gowned up and they've got to stay back from you. You can't come in inside of every 4 hours unless it's an emergency. But it was like God was saying, I can come through these walls. Come on now. I can be with you. And God comforted me. Let me tell you something. There's nothing like getting around the people of God when you're in a valley. This is what the devil tells you. Don't go to church because you're going through a trial. Don't go this morning because you don't feel like it. Don't go to church because you're not in the mood. Don't go around God's people until things get better. And I'm not talking about the pandemic. I'm talking about when circumstances get low. And the first thing the devil says is, stay away. Shy back. Isolate yourself. No. You need to get around the people of God, because that's when you start trusting. And that's when you start transferring. He says the rain also fills the pools. Come on now. You dig so low that you dig a pool. And guess what? When you dig that pool and when that water runs out, aren't you glad that God knows when to send the rain? I'm so thankful that he knows when to send the rain. He fills up the pool. Let me tell you something. Have you ever come to church so down and discouraged? Have you ever come bearing a burden that you didn't even tell anybody? Carrying a load that you didn't even share? Going through a trial that you didn't even post? Fighting a battle that you didn't even tell anybody about? But from the moment the first song was sung, from the moment the first words of the message were preached, it was like it was just for you. It was like God knew. Did you hear me? Like God knew. No, not like God knew. God does know. And he filled the pool up. Let me tell you something. Man can't fill up your pool. Your family can't fill up your pool. Your friends can't fill up your pool. Listen, your stimulus going to run out. Your tax return going to run out. Your money will get funny. Your friends will get few. But when you come into the house of God and you get around the people of God, carrying the Spirit of God, they begin to remind you of the goodness of God. See, you need to get around somebody else that knows God like you do to remind you that it ain't all bad, that God is still good. Let me tell you something. I come in and I get around these folk, you people. You hear me now? I get around you and I see your faces. I see your smiles. Look what he said in verse number 7. They go from strength to strength. One theologian put it like this. They go from company to company. I don't know like about you, but I picture it like going from pew to pew. And it's almost like the more pews you walk by, the more strength you can feel. I'm not trying to get mystical. There's something about being around God's people. Listen, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. The Spirit beareth witness that we are the sons of God. I can feel that you're saved. You can feel that I'm saved. There's something real about the Spirit. He's not a ghost. He's not some superstitious figure. He's not some palm read fictitious thing. No, let me tell you something. The Spirit of God is a person. He's the third person of the Trinity. He's alive. He's real. He changes lives. And when we come to church, you need church. You need to be reminded that that devil is lying to you every week that you're going to lose, that he is a loser, that the battle has already been won. They go from company to company. Exchange struggles, encouraging saints, experienced strength. Notice expectant supplication. Oh, Lord God of hosts, verse 8. Hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of the anointed. Notice what he says. My prayer, my position, my protection. He said, God, hear my prayer. Aren't you glad that church reminds us that God hears our prayers? That's why we pray. We don't pray because we have nothing else to do. We don't pray because we're trying to give the soloists a chance to get to the platform. We don't pray because we're trying to give the ushers a chance to walk up without anybody seeing them trip. We pray because heaven opens its ears when we pray. We pray because God answers prayer. Can I tell you something? I've known plenty preaching men that fail, but I've never known a praying man to fall. You can have power in your preaching by the sound of your voice, but the true power in your preaching comes from prayer. The true power in your performance comes from prayer. I'll tell you why Christians have fallen in 2020 and now in 2021. They've not prayed. Let me tell you something. Men are always to pray and not faint. Be a praying husband, a praying wife, a praying son, a praying daughter, a praying grandmother, a praying grandfather, a praying widow, a praying single mom, a praying single dad, a praying teenager, a praying parent trying to do what you have to do. Be a praying public school kid. Be a praying homeschool kid. Be a praying computer kid that doesn't like to have to do it. Be a praying Christian. Let me tell you something. Prayer changes things. And when we come to church, there's something about that comfort in stress that you can't get when you go to the casino. You can't get it when you go to the club. You say, Pastor, how you know? Because y'all told me. I'm just kidding. But you can't get what you get when you come to church anywhere else. me give you one more and I'm going to quit. Church is a consolation for the soul. It's a catalyst for stability. It's a comfort during stress. And I think this might be my favorite. Why I love church. Church is a chance to serve. A chance to serve. Well, what's the big deal about serving? He loves me. No, you didn't hear me. I'm amazed how he loves me. Well, what's that got to do with church? Church gives me a place to give my service back to God in gratitude for how he loves me. How can you live with yourself to get all that from him and you never do anything for him? Church is a chance to serve. You say, Pastor, I work hard every week. Yeah, but that stuff you do all week long is not like what you do here. Those people that got up and sang in the club last night, it ain't the same as when they got up and sang today. It's a chance to serve. That's why when you sing at church, you're not looking for what you get paid. You're trying to pay God back for all that he's done for you. It's a chance to serve. Good to see Cameron home this weekend. By the way, serving up in Boston as a music minister up there. Glad he's home and we're glad that he gets a chance to sing while he's here. But aren't you glad that you could see people with talents and ability serving the church? Look, I want you to give you a couple things to write down and I need to quit. It's a special privilege. It's a spiritual perspective. It's a sovereign provision. And it's a sure persuasion. These are for your notes. Take them again, would you? It's a special privilege. It's a spiritual perspective. It's a sovereign provision. And it's a sure persuasion. What do you mean? Notice, if you would, first of all, he said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Look at what he said, verse 10. A day in thy courts is better than a thousand. Isn't it a privilege? Let me tell you something. He said, just one day where God is better than a thousand days where God is not. Come on now. Listen, an hour in here is better than 8 hours on the job. Come on now. He said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. That's the spiritual perspective. He said, I'd rather stand at the door and open the door to let people into church than to be the CEO at Microsoft or Apple. Let me tell you something, Pastor. Don't say that now. You don't know how much I could give. You know, I'm not saying, well, you know, if you get there, send the tithe here. But if you don't, here's what is his perspective. He's saying, I'd rather be the lowest man on the totem pole where God is exalted than the man on top where wickedness is exalted. And let me tell you something. You ought to be glad. Listen, you ought not be a glory seeker or a glory hound. Listen to me. If all you ever do is clean a toilet, thank God you're doing it in the house of God. If all you ever do is pick up trash, thank God you're doing it at the place where missions dollars are sent all around the world. If all you do is sweep or vacuum or sanitize or count, or if you run a camera, or if you move the knob up on the sound booth, or if you play the piano, or if you just vacuum carpets, or if you keep the kids, or if you do something small, if you never get paid for, if your name ever gets printed in the what's that thing we have around here? What is it? Yeah, what that is. If your name ever gets printed in just thank God that you get noticed by him. He's not unrighteous to forget your labor of love and your work in ministry. And you'll be rewarded in the Lord. Let me tell you something. It's not about dollars. It's about a chance to give back to the one who loved me and gave himself for me. It's a special privilege. It's a spiritual perspective. Notice the sovereign provision. He's a sun and shield. Somebody say amen. He's the sun and shield. What's that sun? That sun is to give me the warmth and the nourishment that I need. This is a cold world. But aren't you glad when you come to the house of God that the sun, S-O-N, shines like the sun, S-U-N, and he warms up our cold hearts. How many of you come in here after going through that world and working all day long in that world every day? You're saying, I need some warmth in my heart. I need something that will calm me, that will secure me. Aren't you glad that he's a sun, guess what? He's also a shield. You know what he does? He wards off the enemies. He fights your battles. He lets the devil know that you belong to him. He lets the flesh know that it can't control you. He lets the world know that they can't have you. Aren't you glad that God's a shield? He blocks what you can't block. He blocks what you can't see. He blocks what you don't know is coming. He blocks when you don't know people are chasing you. I was in the barber shop yesterday. Somebody walked in and my barber said they've been having some robberies around here in this complex. And the guy walked in with a backpack and my barber got a little bit nervous. He said, I thought he was coming in to get our money. And I was like, you the barber, you the one got all the cash. But anyway, but I said to myself, but you know what? We can't live this life always protecting ourselves. Sometimes danger is lurking and we don't know it's even there. We don't know how many battles God has fought for us that we didn't even know we were in the midst of. But one thing we can know, he never lost a battle. I say he never lost a battle. Like my wife said, never. Yeah, let me tell you something. He never lost a battle. He's a sun and shield. And let me tell you something. Not only is he a sun and shield, but notice what it says. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. God is not a God up in heaven with a voodoo doll that looks like you that he's sticking with a pin enjoying seeing you suffer. If he's got something good that you're supposed to have, he's not going to hold it back. He's not a stingy God. He's not a selfish God. He's not a mean father. Come on now. He's a good, good father. He's a sure, he gives us a sovereign provision. And here is our sure persuasion. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusted in thee. Blessed. You looking for favor? I talked to somebody recently, said, I've given everything over to God. And then they got bad news that week. And I said, now you took it all back. Isn't it amazing how good God is when everything's going our way? Well, I need this blessing and it doesn't seem like it's coming. And I've been praying, it doesn't seem like God's answering. And I need God to come through and it doesn't seem like he's ever coming through. You're looking for blessings. You know the problem? You're always looking for tangible ones. You're looking for blessings you can touch. Here's a way to get yourself some blessings. Last verse. Trust in God. You'll never be more blessed than you are when you're trusting God. What are you not trusting him for? That's why you're not blessed. Blessed is the man. I've decided to trust him. And it doesn't always go my way. And let's all admit it. Let's just all admit it with a nodded head. Sometimes when things don't go our way, we get frustrated. Come on. And we start going, God, why? Before you finish the sentence, stop there and go, I shouldn't be asking God why. Well, Pastor, I have questions. Well, here's a question you can ask yourself. Instead of asking God, why did you do it? Ask God, what are you trying to teach me? What am I missing? Because if I'm asking why, that means that your character warrants being questioned. If I'm asking what, it means my character warrants being taught. What are you trying to teach me? If I'm still hurting, if my body's not well, if the doctor can't give me an answer, what are you trying to teach me? Pray more. Love more. Be kind. I was thinking last night, one of the things God has taught me here the last year or so is to learn how to give people the benefit of the doubt. We are so quick to rush to judgment. You know why? Because we've been alone so much. And we have too much time to think about why everybody does what they're doing. Just because you have more time doesn't mean you're any more God. You know what you ought to do? God, you're good to me. And if you're good to me, the way I'm good to you is by being good to other people. And if you won't withhold any good thing from me, then I need to quit withholding good things from others. church helps us since then. That's why this year has been tough. We've not been able to do church like we're used to. And I say that, do church, respectfully. Thank God for technology. That was a spot to say amen. Thank God for technology. Thank God we could see the services. Thank God I could come in and record. Thank God for Brother Reddick and our sound team and Brother Jeremy getting it up where we could see it. But ain't nothing like being in the building. Looking at those beautiful faces, half of them. And knowing that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. One more time, let's say it together. I love church. How many of you would admit, with God's help, you could love it even more? I know I could. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you for the house of God. Thank you for church. Thank you for what we've found here. Not just fellowship, but friendship. We need somebody to keep our kids. We call somebody in church. Something goes wrong, we call someone in church. Somebody goes in the hospital, church starts praying. The pastor gets sick. The church holds up his hands and the hands of his family. The assistant pastor, the founding pastor, members. It's not like it. We go from strength to strength. God, help us to be more committed. Please help us. And I pray you continue to give all of us wisdom as we seek to be faithful. If we're going to do something for you in these last days that's going to count for reaching the world and earning our rewards, we need to channel it through the church. Heads bowed, eyes closed.